welcome to Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We are here to fight back against mainstream media, against everything that's put out there that pits us against each other, that says we can't help each other out, and there's no possible way we can get people into some safe schools and some decent work environments. We're here to smash that paradigm and make something new. And if you're Jeffrey Sessions, you know, we may not like you, but stay out of our shit. We don't want you telling us what to do, and we'll stay out of you. Stay out of your business as well. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We've been here on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio for 5 years now, trying to spread the message of horizontally organized fun. As we have done so, we have amassed a following of people. There are plenty of folks out there watching live right now that are ready to get this thing moving, get everybody what they need, and get everybody partying, relaxing, taking more days off work, and spending more time following their passions, living their dreams, and more time with their families and who they want to be around. We're Street Fight Radio.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
That was a huge pitch.
Doing some stuff for the Facebook Live people. We're now Facebook Live broadcasters.
We have moved on to not only the radio platform, but the Facebook Live platform, because we are lacking in fans over there. So I know a lot of you are pissed about that because you're anonymous people. I apologize, but we are trying to infect normies, and they really need to see the faces talking.
They love it. They love when they can see us sitting in this basement.
I don't know why you like those podcasts.
Yeah,
they just love someone talking in your ear all day.
We want to be their Jay Leno, yeah, the new Jay Leno that yells
we're here
at their boss for them every night.
Yeah, we're here to organize your workplace.
Yes, of course. I want to start the show with I lost another person to a person who had been who had used heroin in the past. I don't know. They haven't done an autopsy or anything. Could have just been he's beat up from when he was doing it before. But that sucks. You know what I mean? I'm so sick of I'm not going to do. We've done long parts of this show about people from my past dying of heroin overdoses in the past. I just want to say that it's hopeless for me. It feels, these are the times where I feel like I don't know that anybody, I don't know that we're ever going to get to the point where people have the right answers for this thing. I don't think we're even looking for them still. You know, I'm seeing, and this is so understandable, and I'm not mad, but I'm seeing people on here calling for some pretty extreme law enforcement measures because they're hurting really bad right now. And it's not their fault, man. All they're convinced, all that anybody says to them is that the only way to fix this is having guys with guns chasing them around all the time. So I just,
that was
man.
A quick turn. Yeah. That is how we handle it. It's a street fight. You need to be able to duck and dive. You never know what's coming next. But I did see that. I did know the fellow that passed. Rest in peace, Matt. But it also is a matter of being in a world where the tools available to help somebody like that just aren't there. The money that's being spent is being put in towards abstinence programs and law and order and drug courts and all of these things that don't jive for a lot of people that are doing drugs. You know, it comes from the minds of squares usually because they think they're so goddamn superior and that they can fix everybody with science and shit. And it doesn't really ever acknowledge the human side of what's happening here. I also had somebody close to me OD, but didn't die, just at work, fell out and got taken to a hospital. And being around people that do drugs as you get older, the ones that keep staying in it like that, you know, these are the circumstances that come about.
Yeah, and I will say that the person that I know that OD'd this time, or that may have OD'd this time in the past, had OD'd twice, and the ambulance and the police came one of the times and arrested him when he got out of the hospital for having drugs. You know what I mean? I don't even know what message that sends to somebody.
And, yeah, it's certainly not welcoming.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you or know. Compassionate. Yeah, we do. We do. I don't see the war on drugs, prohibition, or the attitude and the complete ignorance of the lawmakers. They are just ignore it. They don't discuss it. They don't ever have to talk to us and have a conversation. It's just more platitudes and on to the next thing, if at all.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk during this last election. You know, every politician in Ohio came on talking about how they were going to do something about opiates. And, like, that's because everybody in Ohio knows somebody that's struggling with opiates, you know? None of their suggestions are anything that like, addresses the fact that we can't eradicate opiate use. You know?
it does start. Yeah, it does. It starts from that obscene position of like, well, this is just a problem. There's a solution. We can make it so that nobody uses opiates.
Yeah, we can get rid of all of the opiates. Like, we'll burn them all and then, like, not ever have opiates anymore. No, but just people won't get them anymore. That's not a possibility. That's, like, a childish way to look at this, you know?
But that's what the leadership is. Look, that's the leadership that we have, though, is that they still are buying into these fantasies instead of, you know, providing somebody with safe drugs. I mean, people love those pills because they're a hell of a lot better than the heroin.
Yes.
The OxyContin is way better than the heroin.
They cost more because it's safer. Like, actually, they cost a lot.
They're premium.
Because they charge so much. But, yeah, you pay a pills premium with that. I mean, like, the way that we have it set up, heroin is like McDonald's. Like, if you're a person who's long time in this thing, heroin is like a McDonald's, and pills are like they're another level up.
They're like a seated restaurant.
Yeah, they're like an Applebee's.
Yeah, this is going to be great. It's not going to be sketchy or anything. Everything will be rather clean and sterile, and you know, not kind of the madhouse.
A luxury. It'll be a luxury. It's a luxury being able to get the pills. They're just so expensive. They're so hard to get. They sell out like barbecue. Like, they sell out. Like, they're the restaurant that sells out of food every day. You know what I mean? You know you're going to get rid of all of your pills because they're so popular. And, like, just have those. Look, I know that, like, somebody on the other end of this is like, you can't just give people OxyContin. And I'm here to tell you, you can. You absolutely could give people OxyContin. Sit down with them and say, hey, you come back here every week, I'll give you your OxyContin, but let's talk for an hour. Let's see if we can wean off of this. You know what I mean? Let's improve other parts of your life so that you want to get off of this drug, or you at least want to have a healthy relationship with this drug. You know?
And when you get down to heroin, when you get down to this new to Molly, which just means anything under the sun these days, you don't know what you're actually getting. And it is too big of a risk to have that shit out there. And it could be eliminated with a real competitor and, you know, information on how to do it. You know, like, if you're doing, I mean, you don't need to be doing this many oxys a week. Like, your body size, all of this shit, it's like, it's too fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Even if I, you know, but you said provide it, but at the same time, tell them how to do them. And then also, you know, the issue for me, and I've lost people to heroin and also alcohol, because simply only because this girl could not get into treatment because she could not pay for it. So it was like, I'm trying to scrape together $5,000 to be able to go, and died on the way of saving that money, you know?
Yeah, and the only real option they give you for free is Alcoholics Anonymous. And for some people, that thing doesn't work, you know?
You can't just go scream at somebody and tell them they can never be high again, especially to people that like to be high.
Yeah, I always feel that. That's a big deal for me. It's like, when I went into rehab, one of the reasons they kicked me out is because I was like, I can't make a promise to you that I'm never going to get high again. That's not even my goal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I could see myself rearranging my life and doing drugs in a different way, but yeah, I'm not certainly not thinking about being Ned Flanders.
I was clean for a whole year, too. It wasn't like I went right back to even smoking weed or anything like that. I, you know, the first thing I did when I quit drugs was started smoking cigarettes again.
Well, you get that. I mean, you get that. Times are rough, man. You're ragged, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's a trade-off. It's such a weird trade-off, too, because it's like, I mean, doing drugs is kind of healthier than cigarettes. Why not just keep doing drugs? It's all the stress behind getting the drugs and stuff like that, because they're so hard to get. But, yeah, and the DEA is like this rogue organization. I look at them as like the Mel Gibson cop and a Lethal Weapon. Like, just the... He's just out of bounds. You know what I mean?
Does whatever they want.
The DEA is all that. It's just like, oh, yeah, I hear you guys are all enjoying this marijuana. Well, you know it'll kill you. It could. It possibly could. It has never killed anybody. But you never know when it's going to get its first victim.
Yeah, wait till it flips on you. Then you'll be coming to me begging for forgiveness.
Why don't you tell the future victim of marijuana, the future first victim of marijuana usage, that it doesn't work, that it can't kill anybody? Why don't you tell them that?
Yeah, we are stuck in prudism, basically. I hate it. It's just obnoxious.
The DEA is out of control. Like, when they did the Kratom thing, it was like a decree. They, like, came out and were like, we decree there's no use for this.
Yeah.
It's like, I like it. That's a use. Yeah.
I saw this guy online that cured all of his ailments with it.
Yeah. No, it did. That didn't happen. He was being tricked
right
into feeling good, Brett. He felt good. It's obviously a trick. What the heck? He takes that thing? It makes him feel good? You can't do it that way. You got to feel good naturally.
Our representatives will drink fracking water, but they won't drink Kratom. Yeah. They aren't willing to have any personal experience with this at all.
Yeah. A guy, like anybody who says marijuana should just, like anybody who Schedule I's marijuana shouldn't have any position in society. Like,
that's just their opinion.
I know.
They should not have a say over my life because it's their opinion.
Yes. Yeah. And their opinion's so stupid. And it's not anybody else's opinion, you know? Even when they do this, like, should weed be legal? These polls, and there are, like, you know, 40% of people think it should still be illegal. I could talk all of them out of that. I just know I could. I'd just be like, are you serious, dude? Why don't you sit with me while I smoke some weed?
Yeah, I don't know, man. You got to sell some pretty tough customers on that one.
I know. And like, how do you even, yeah. How do you even start to, that's what I mean by like, how do you even approach somebody when the DEA has everybody shaking in their fucking boots, you know? Like, we talked about this last week. The doctors, like, are under-prescribing Vicodin for people. Like, they don't want to give you even enough pain pills to get you until you don't need pain pills anymore. And it's not their fault. They're afraid. You see these movements all the time now where people are like, you should be able to sue the doctor if somebody ODs on a prescription they give them. I'm like, that ain't the doctor's fault, man. Doctor didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not the same. Handing somebody a bottle of pills is not the same as handing them a gun. It's just not. It's not like handing them a lit dynamite fuse, you know? Like, they can be used in a million different ways.
Yeah. And it's the matter of the people that are attracted to that and go down that hole, man. The heroin is something that for some reason, all the hysterical people are convinced turns you into like an evil person immediately.
Yeah. It's like meth. Meth was the same way. Like, and people on meth are intolerable.
True.
I'm not sticking up for the people on meth. I just don't think they were all lost causes.
No, no. You know? No, I certainly couldn't say that. I mean, it's a lot of fun and it makes sense and it's extreme joyride. Well, and that was the same. I mean, I smoked heroin one time. I've never shot any drugs, done most of the drugs, but it felt like being in a video game, like just floating away and I couldn't move. But after I was done, I was like, I don't know what I was so confused by what had just happened to me.
Right. Yeah.
That it made me uncomfortable. Yeah. I've never been okay with any deep sedation or like where you're just stuck. I'm just like, I don't know about that. But there are people that, you know, like you said, don't want to be a part of life. You know, there's a lot of people's lives that isn't going so fucking great for them. And we don't do very much to help people like that.
Yeah. Well, you even think like, man, you know, we drug test everybody. So if you're on drugs, that's a concern. Not right. Opiates, really. They're out of your system in 2 days. Most people can last 2 days, like white knuckled 2 days to get them out of your system.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
But like, I mean, we're drug testing people. So even a lot of people who maybe do have drug problems can't even get work. And if they can get work, what kind of work is it? And yeah.
What's his name? Held Horse, my buddy there on Twitter, fellow DSA member. He sent a video of a homeless guy that got in trouble for drug possession. He said he was a contractor. He had a 3-bedroom house and a wife and like a family, and just started messing. Had enough extra money for drugs because, you know, once again, it does cost a lot of money to do these things. And got busted for possession, and just he can't get housing. Can't get jobs. They just turn you into a second-class citizen.
Well, and you wanted to drive. You wanted to drive for Lyft, and
so
you
bad.
Got turned down because you had a drug charge, a weed charge. He got turned down because he had a weed misdemeanor.
Yeah, a weed possession misdemeanor in the Confederate state of Virginia prevented me from driving for Lyft.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, right? That is so, like, you're telling them they can't work. You're making a group of second class citizens.
If you have heroin, you become a felon, and then it's like, well, people did it. Now what? It's like they're second class citizens now.
Yeah, you're making second class citizens, and then you're wringing your hands when they die. You know, like when they die, you're like, oh, we got to do something about all these second class citizens dying. And I don't feel like they. I mean, like. It doesn't even feel like anybody has the idea. Like, you don't see articles about harm reduction in the New York Times, even. Like, Stefan Borst, the cannabarrister, Stefan Borst Consuelo, should be on TV all the time. He should be being interviewed, you know? And I'm serious about that. Like, he's a lawyer that deals with cannabis. He knows a lot about it. But you don't hear his kind of opinions. You just don't hear harm reduction unless you're in groups of people who already believe in harm reduction.
Yeah.
You know, everybody I know, they're already down with harm reduction. They're actually, like, even my wife would be like a hardcore advocate for something like that, being somebody who's been through all kinds of drug related things in our lives, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just tired of seeing people die because it's the state that's killing. I'm tired of, like, everything being blamed except for the state. And the state is what's making these deaths happen. It's the pharmaceutical companies. You can even blame them all you want. But the state is killing people.
They're in complete control of the marketplace. And by setting up their laws, they create the anti-marketplace. They are completely 100% putting themselves in here and creating a lot of these issues. And you know what? Even people that still, if we do harm reduction, people are still going to die from it. You know, it's not like we're looking to end it. We're just want to acknowledge what's going on instead of trying to find some, you know, instead of trying to solve a problem that can't be solved.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Sorry, that was pretty bleak. That's a good bleak way to start it.
Hey, man, you know what? I thought we had a little bit of fun in there.
I did.
No matter how. How depressing it gets. That's all of our subject matter is depressing. We live in President Donald J. Trump's America.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I mean, I still care for the guy just knowing him tangentially. And I know all the people that I care about, you know, like care for him. So I think that advocating is the best that I can do with my time right now.
We don't have anything else. I mean, like I said, you can't go to the damn government. They're not listening. They ain't taking messages.
Right.
So I thought, because we're going to go to the inauguration, show's already sold out, so what are we going to do?
You know, yeah,
we're not, there's nothing. We're not promoting it right now.
Well, if you want to help us out, though, you can still pre-order Trump Revolt t-shirts all month long, $25, store.streetfightradio.com. You have until January 31st. I'll be mailing them out in February. They're super dope.
So, Meryl Streep pissed so many people off a couple weeks ago.
She did. She caused a ruckus.
And I noticed in the past week, when the Republicans are in office, the celebs get so much more interesting. Like, they're all out there doing stuff these days.
You think so? I do.
I really do think so. Like, Meryl Streep would have never talked about politics.
She loves Margaret Thatcher. She's a huge fan of Margaret Thatcher.
I'm mad that she was like mean to MMA and football. It's like, oh, screw you. What?
Yeah.
What did you and Mamma Mia? What's that?
Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that I know. I still don't know. I feel like the celebs are the worst. They're the fakest of them all. And like, they're the ones that will sell you out every time because they want to keep on top of everybody.
Well, yeah.
And so it's really good for them these times because they get to go out there and pretend like they're rebellious and shit. Keith Olbermann gets to go out there and drape himself in a flag, you know?
Well,
and so these fucking kooks are coming out now, and I'm not interested anymore. Like, yeah. I thought it was meaningful when I was younger and there was no internet to deprogram me.
Yeah. I'm just cracking up about, like, the conservative response to them. Like, nothing fires up conservatives like a celeb.
A talkie set celeb.
That's the fucking weirdest thing about it, is all they have elected are celebs. Like, they got Donald Trump in there. They're going to elect John Taffer in a few years. That's like...
Scott Baio was at the convention.
Yeah, they love
Antonio Sabato Jr. was at the convention. Yeah, they are... Ronald Reagan was... Ronald Reagan was an actor, Sonny Bono. Like, they are, all the way celebrity worshipers. I mean, through and through.
Yeah. They don't love anything more. So I read this and I thought this was a funny one, how mad they are. This is a funny Facebook post about them being mad. Meryl Streep came out dressed as Donald Trump at one of Hillary's events and made fun of him.
Oh my goodness. The gall.
They're mad because they're people are making fun of Donald Trump. It's so fucking weird that, like, he's the easiest guy to make fun of. Like, we've been making fun of Donald Trump, not just Brett and I, but as a society since he's been famous.
Since the 90s.
I know.
He's been a joke.
I don't want to treat him with respect.
No. NPR served up a softball today. It came on, it got stuck on there, and it clicks on, and the story is just like, well, you know what? I wasn't happy 8 years ago neither, but I went to work and changed brakes and tires and did my job, and I kept my mouth shut about Obama.
Yeah, no.
So they were like interviewing people that they were interviewing, like, what do you think of this liberal outrage? And it was just a bunch of people like, I think they should keep their mouth shut. I sure as hell did.
No, not even for a minute did they shut up about Obama.
Yeah, I mean, the pro wrestling of politics, the red versus blue ties, like, those people are always squawking at the other one.
Yeah, so the rest of this thing is, so Meryl Streep came, actually they say Meryl S. They don't even, I bet they didn't know if it's Streap or Streep. So they were like, everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah, Meryl.
He came out dressed as Donald Trump at one of Hillary's events and made fun of him. Now at the Golden Globe, she says one of the reasons she hates Donald Trump is that he makes fun of people. Confused, Meryl? The pot calling the kettle black? Meryl is a proper, worthless hypocrite.
Oh, proper.
They get furious when like somebody makes fun of the president, they get so mad, and Republicans are so boring now that they also try to use logic to destroy him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest thing that is all of the logicking that you try to do, they will just reflect it right back. Like, they're going to finagle it.
So whatever, like, the liberals say, they twist it around.
That's bad? Well, let me go and look.
Let me look through my Rolodex of bad things and see if I can match something to this.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. That's so, how all that all right and the all that stuff got was just jujitsu, man. Really, they just flipped all of that identity politics stuff back on people.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is a white European man.
So the next celebrity that came up this week a lot in regards to Donald Trump, Steve Harvey meeting with Donald Trump. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I missed that story, honestly. I did see that someone took the picture that was all blurry, and then someone said, I didn't even have to add the Mr. Krabs filter to this photo. He looked hectic. What was going on?
I got this story from Fox News, and we're just reading it from Fox News right now about Steve Harvey.
Fair and balanced reporting.
Well, I mean, we're so far left that we should get our news from Fox News. We're the alt-left, Brett. Family Feud host Steve Harvey met with the president-elect Donald Trump at Trump Tower on Friday. After posing for photos with Trump in the lobby, the comedian told reporters that he came to meet with Trump after the transition teams of both President Obama and Trump reached out to him last week.
Okay. Well, he's like, hey, now, Barack, come over here. It was him, too.
So
he was in on it, too, so... He made the decision as well.
We were thinking we would have Steve Harvey come and talk to you.
We kind of got a Family Feud situation going here, right? He can be kind of the host.
Yeah. Here's Steve Harvey explaining. I came and talked to the guy who's going to be the 45th president of the United States, Harvey said. We spoke about housing for urban development to bring some positive changes in the inner cities. Why talk to Steve Harvey about this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's active in that stuff. He does give back a lot.
He does? Okay. Yeah. He wants to do
He runs
something.
Summer camps and all kinds of youth programs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good then. Good for Steve Harvey.
He also spends a lot of money on them suits, though.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need those suits, Steve Harvey.
I'm going to get the suits, too.
Yeah. He wants to do something. He realizes that he wants to do something. He wants to put them all in jail.
Is that what he said?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's like, he wants to do something. Yeah, he wants... I mean, he'd like to build a fence around it, like District B-13.
Yeah. So what did Steve Harvey say?
He said he seems really sincere about it. That's what Steve Harvey was saying.
Okay.
Harvey said the meeting was successful, adding that the pair spoke about everything from golf to their mutual friend Mark Burnett, and of course, Family Feud. Trump's a big fan... Oh, my God. Trump's a big fan of Family Feud. I guess when you're the president, you have to be a big fan of everything, though.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, you love American culture. It's the great. It's the greatest.
Like, Obama never says, like, Big Bang Theory sucks.
That's true.
Like, Obama is...
I love Spider-Man. I love all of the Paw Patrol. I love Disney World. I love cheesesteaks. And Reebok tennis shoes.
He does. He loves it. He has to. So I'm and also if you're meeting Steve Harvey, you should just say you like the Family Feud. It's rude.
Yeah. Why would you not?
Like,
It's just, hey, big fan of the Family Feud. Done. I mean, not when you hosted it, but when I was a kid, I liked it.
He also is fantasy booking his show. The Trumps being on Family Feud against the Obamas, that'd be good. Or how about the Clintons? And I'm like, you get
that's
that?
That's fun. And see, I'll now watch. That's the fun kind of shit that government should be doing.
Might as well now. We're already down this road. We got Donald Trump.
We need less decision making and more just Clampett style family feuds. More like Hatfield and McCoy family style feuds, I think, is a better way to handle all this aggression. These people are dragging us all down in their petty New York City high-minded bullshit. This rich people beefs are fucking up our whole thing.
Yeah, you're right, man. You're right. And they're holding all the money. The article came out this week.
Oh, it did.
Yeah.
The infographic. I saw the infographic. Ooh, I was
those
like,
make
what?
Me mad. Those make me mad every time. Well, Yeah, I think
there's a report.
There is a report
that found top 8 richest people in the world, in fact, own 50 as much as 50% of the bottom half of the rest of the world.
8 men as rich as half the world is what it
un-fucking real. That means we could literally get rid of those guys, make them do regular jobs, and double the pay for the bottom half of the entire workers of the world.
Those guys are framing houses, if I have my way around it. Sure. Those guys are going to be roofers.
Yeah.
It's basic. Like, they don't get...
Well, we can give them a skill. We'll let them choose a skill.
Nope. Nope. Laborer. They'll have that skill. They'll get... Listen, I worked as a laborer. I worked as a laborer for many years. That is what they'll be, a laborer. Look, I'm going to give other people that are laborers, I'm going to give them the easier jobs. That's how this works. It's a Pol Pot situation.
I get it. I know. I'm just trying to say maybe we could make them do trash too. Like, we could give them a little bit of a choice.
I don't know, man. Trash is hard. But roofing fucking sucks.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the hard, or like digging foundations.
Uh-huh.
Like dudes that just go dig big holes for $9 an hour. That's what I want fracking, one of these guys to do.
Fracking kills you. That we can make him go do the fracking.
Yeah. Sick. And did they list the 8 guys?
They did.
That's good. We should go find them.
Oh, I forgot I can look it up.
I have it right here. Forbes list. Microsoft founder Gates is the richest individual with a net worth of $75 billion.
And he's terrible. He has no idea what to do with that money.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. I want all his shit, by the way. Framing houses, Bill Gates.
He's a run school like a business.
Yeah.
Nerd.
Bill Gates, future plumber under my revolution. That's a good skill, by the way. I'm not like trying to take any meaning away from him. I want to give them good, useful skills. And plumber, excellent skill.
Yes.
Pays well. That's a $17 an hour job right there.
That's nice.
You know? So don't sit and tell me.
He can do journeyman, too.
Yeah.
Make a lot on the road.
All kinds of different plumbing situations that Warren Buffett could probably do. If we just taught him. Teach these guys a trade. Get them out there doing something useful.
Exactly. Who's our guys? Jeff Bezos on there?
The others in order of ranking are Amancio Ortega, the Spanish founder of fashion house Inditex. He doesn't deserve
it. Wow.
It's a fashion house.
Clothes.
Yeah. That's made pretty, it all on clothes.
Holy moly.
We got financier Warren Buffett. I hate that guy.
I like that guy. I love his gimmick where it comes out. People like me shouldn't have a lot of money. And it's like, all right, bro, what are you doing? And giving it to Bill Gates. Like, oh, to another rich dude.
Yeah.
Same old fucking story. We've always heard from you people.
People love the shit out of Warren Buffett. He's just like, if you tell your grandma about Warren Buffett, she's going to get tears in her eyes.
He didn't want to make all those billions. He didn't want to have 6 Manhattan apartments. He didn't.
Yeah.
God grace him with
that.
That's
how low we've fallen, is that like Warren Buffett's a folk hero.
I know.
It's like, fuck this guy. He would have been, he's one of the biggest 8 biggest, he's one of the Sinister 8.
The Evil Eight. I like Evil Eight better. Sinister sounds good, but Evil Eight sounds great.
Yeah. Mexican business magnate Carlos Slim.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
I love his name, I'd love to take everything away from him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets to keep that name, though. You know what I mean?
He could do something with that.
He might even pile up. A guy with that name might pile up another fortune, like, right away anyway.
He'll just start back from the bottom. Like, well, I guess we'll do it again.
Shit, now we got to take all the money back from Carlos Slim again.
Carlos, you made too much money again.
Amazon boss Jeff Bezos, which bothers me because I know that Amazon runs. Like, I read that story about the people that work in the office that were always crying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I will say this, a lot of people that I knew that were struggling with like precarious employment and weren't able to pay their bills are now working at the Amazon building that's like paying like, I think they're paying like $14 an hour, which I know it should be $16. And when I become mayor, the minimum wage will be $16 an hour here.
I've seen a lot of people that are like, just to have regular employment. They're like, they told me I had to come to work these 5 days a week. It's insane. People are, we're so beat up and so like, fractured in their working lives now.
Well, doing like most of the jobs that actually exist are like Lyft, where it's like I don't even have to be at work. They told me I go to the doctor for free. Like I'm going to be able to go to the doctor. I'm going to have insurance. Like that just shows that like
we've fallen pretty far.
Yeah, oh, man. But the excitement in people that get the job there, I'm so thankful for it. Like every time I see it, like I've seen so many people get this job.
Yeah, but they would be even more excited if that fucking owner of theirs would just give up some of that money. All of it, really.
All the money. Give up all your money, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you got too much, man. Don't be ostentatious. Have some taste, you know. Be a little classy about it. Don't run around with billions of dollars.
Yeah, the next guy is
what,
Mark.
Some kind of buffoon that thinks that shit matters?
Yeah, the next guy is Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, laptop geek.
He don't even need anything. He wears the same shirt every day. He'll be fine with digging holes or whatever I'm going to have him doing. Maybe he'll be the guy that drives around in a pickup truck and cleans up the dog shit out of rich people's backyards. And when I say rich people, I mean people that used to be roofers.
Right.
And people that used to work at McDonald's.
Okay, right. This new society.
He'll be a doo-doo patrol.
Okay, yeah, because he might, I mean, I don't know, he might be a little bit weaker. I don't think he's going to fit in on the housing crew. So,
there'll be plenty of service jobs, too, for these guys, you know?
Yeah, they'll be right in there with the service draft. They're going to have to do 2 years like the rest of us.
I don't mind it,
though.
Well,
we have our credits.
Yeah, well, I could do 2 years again on standing on my head. You know what I mean? That's like, the difference between Bill Gates and I is that, like, if they sent me to a McDonald's to work for 2 years, I'd be fine.
I actually, you know, I mean, I went and ate at a place today, and there, I know we talk shit about management a lot, but I just saw this guy and, you know, remembered all the people that I knew that were managers in those places, those chain restaurants, man, they just are barely paying you enough to be the manager. And you have to do it all day long. But this guy, he was like really nice and friendly and on point when I talked to him. And I just thought for a second, that is so fucking exhausting to have to do that for like 10 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, being not actually getting yelled at a lot too,
right?
And just chasing grab ass and teenagers around the store all day is like, ah,
yeah, God. Horny 20-year-olds in this case.
Yeah, yeah. Where so it was like at a chain. It was a chain.
Yeah, it was a chain pizza place. It was a mystery shop.
Ooh, lucky.
But it was good. I mean, the place was great, but I still also was like, fuck, these managers are getting nothing to do this shit. Vital role, and it's like they're getting nothing for it.
No, they never give any money for any jobs, really.
And then Geriana Davis comes in from corporate to scream at them like once a month and tell them their numbers aren't right.
Yeah. God damn it. There's too much shrink. There's always shrink because, you only let me hire teenagers, man.
Yeah.
They steal shit. That's the way things happen. We actually have a story about that that I got from the Northeast Ohio IWW.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Website. Oh, yeah, this is good.
Yeah. So let's get into this right now. Actually, you know what? We're going to start this up here in a second. We're going to take a break and then come back and start this over. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Sorry about that. We took a break because Brian's computer was starting to do updates and was going to shut down. He was unable to prevent that from happening, so we went ahead and did the updates. We are back and ready to give you the rest of the show, as promised.
Yeah, we were just getting into a story about the Northeastern Ohio IWW. Now, this actually is a happened in the Pacific Northwest. And in like Portland or Washington or something like that, where real radical people live. It's hard to find like wobblies in Ohio. I mean, I know that we talk big game, and you know, I'm sure if you told a few people what wobblies were, they'd be down with it, you know, but it's just not a popular movement here. It's not in the air.
Yes. Yeah. You said that maybe there is some bowlers that still do it in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah, they do a bowling with the wobblies event every once in a while, I'm always like, man, I'd like to go to that.
You know,
I always see him posted. I'm like, I'd like to go. Like the Wobbly, I love the Wobblies.
I do too.
I am like very fond of the IWW.
Yeah, I tried. I also joining up with the DSA. So far, it hasn't taken too much of my time, and I did look into the IWW locally and could not find
nothing
any
Columbus.
Happenings. Yeah,
there's just nothing going on in Columbus. It's, you know, yeah, the January 29th is they're bowling with the Wobblies in Lakewood, Ohio, at a place called Mayhalls. So if you're a if you're a person that identifies with the IWW, man, give that, maybe go to their thing.
Here's some. Let's talk about some of the things that IWW does.
Okay, so they link to a picture from a Facebook group called Burgerville Workers Union. Now, most of our listeners are not going to know what Burgerville is because Brett and I didn't, and we just assume that we know a lot more than all of you.
Well, I am definitely one to go down a Wikipedia hole of fast food specific local fast food chains.
I feel like an expert in fast food. I feel like actually finding out that Burgerville is a thing kind of caught me off guard. It like made me feel a little bit inside. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, I never heard of Burgerville and I love burgers.
You do have to travel though, because like Dallas had their own chains that only like Whataburger is just huge in Texas, and you won't really find it anywhere else, but it's a fucking behemoth. It's like McDonald's there. It's like McDonald's or Whataburger, and Burger King is like trailing behind.
Yeah, so here's the story we got. It's at this Burgerville place, and the first post was on January 13th. Burgerville employs about 1,500 people. To Boogerville. It's Boogerville.
Take me on down to Burgerville.
Take me down to Burgerville where the burgers taste like pills. I want a couple of burgers. All right. Update and action request. Last Friday, union leader. So the IWW is trying to organize Burgerville.
Got it.
Okay. Hey.
Makes sense. If burgers are being made, probably needs to be some sort of contract amongst the employees.
You got to figure, you got 1,500 employees. That's enough that you can have a union. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And Burgerville, now, like most hamburger streets, they want to do it for cheap.
They do not want a union.
Yeah. They're
like, I know this is a failure of imagination. I cannot imagine a fast food place ever having a union. I just
drop to my knees and like weep when I see those billboards that are like $4 fill up box. And I'm like, $4 in food. People, they're trying to entice people like, hey, if you only have $4, we have a box of food for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is all of them. Denny's will get you in the door for $5. We won't charge you a penny over $5. It's $4.99 for lunches at Denny's. Go ahead.
We'll take the cost off in food production, but also labor. We don't pay these people shit. Okay.
Right. These people, we can legally take away their health care now. Maybe they'll save us a little bit. I would. I actually read a little bit about the Philadelphia pop tax, which maybe we can save for after this.
Definitely. Yeah. That's another thing we do here. You know, we cover pop. That's just what we do. So what happened was Jordan, one of the outspoken people at Burgerville. Oh, actually, here we go. All right. Let's start here at the, man, they are like going for it in the Burgerville. Like,
well, why not create this disruption? What's the point of just sitting down and taking it? Why not do what you can to push back? I mean, Jordan obviously got fired up here and created a campaign, but there's certainly no reason you shouldn't. You only get one life, and if you're stuck at fucking fast food, make someone else's time more shitty.
Yeah, absolutely. Than yours. Yeah, make your boss. I mean, yeah, screw the boss.
Make the owner's lives more shitty than yours.
Mr. Burgerville. Attention supporters. On Thursday, longtime union member and worker at the Vancouver Plaza Burgerville, Jordan, was working his usual opening shift. I don't like when stories start out with a worker working their usual morning shift because they end one of two ways. One, fired. Two, dead. Like, because somebody...
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to hear a story start. It's not going to end
well,
good.
I say the silver lining is that at least it was usually in the morning, had a set schedule. It wasn't like he was working till midnight and then opening the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know, man. It was a busy morning, and when he went on his break, his manager made him a bagel and cream cheese and handed it to him. Jordan sat down and ate it. In all the rush, the manager never charged for his bagel. Instead of letting him know about the mistake in the moment or later on that day, his manager kept silent.
Okay.
And chose to quietly report it to HR. Coward.
Set up.
This.
That's a setup. That's a setup I've ever heard one.
You think it's, you're, I
hey,
mean.
Hey, Comrade Jordan, have a bagel. On me, on the house, because I'm your friend, the manager.
The manager does not want to deal with you. That is dead. Like, if you're in
his place, boss is saying, if these guys, if this Jordan organizes this place, you're fucking fired.
You first. Let a union, you let the first fast food workers union be created under your watch.
Yeah. Do you really want to carry that on your shoulders?
Oh,
you
man.
See what happens when people start getting paid a living wage around here?
Oh, I love Jordan. Jordan. We're on
hero.
Your side.
People do not. I mean, his name is said with disgust. People spit when they talk about Jordan in the Burgerville higher ups.
They have to have meetings about Jordan. I mean, that's my dream. My dream is that people in boardrooms have to have meetings about Brett and I.
Did we explain what he's doing here? Trying to set up a union, right?
Yeah. That's his goal. He's like, hey, workers, I'm trying to set up a union, you know?
And then his boss comes through with
a bagel.
The setup.
Yeah.
That's entrapment, man. That's what the cop ass shit every time.
And just the HR thing. Just reporting it to HR. That makes me fucking sick. That is some manager shit. Ugh. That is some middle manager shit.
I don't have to rectify this with my personal emotions. There is a form to fill out. I will just let them decide how they want to handle the employee.
Yo, man, I hate this person for going to HR. Nothing makes me more mad than going to HR. Than going to HR instead of talking to the person face to face, especially for a manager. Now, I can see why an employee would have to do that, because that's what they tell you you can do. That's like supposed to be your equalizer in those businesses. But managers going to HR, that just means they're trying to get you fired. He's stealing. He stole one bagel with cream cheese.
Right. That's
Hey, listen to me. If you work at a fast food restaurant, you eat free. That's the law. That's something that we do here, okay? That's bullshit. You can't steal food from your restaurant boss. It's impossible.
It's also a setup because the manager stole it. The manager's in charge. You know, shit, that's how it always goes with the you got to say that if you didn't ring the guy up, it's your fucking fault, dude. It ain't his fault.
Trying to get the manager.
Yeah,
fired.
The manager is the one at fault.
He's a toady. He's there for the company.
If he's in charge of the fucking transaction, then he needs to be punished for it. He's the problem.
So
this is why it's a setup. I'm telling you, that's why it's a setup.
The next day, Jordan was informed by his managers that he was suspended effective immediately because he violated company policy by forgetting to pay 70 cents for his bagel. Come on, 70 cents.
Man, I just want to throw that change in some of their faces.
I want to go in there and be like, you know, the only time in this world I would ever say that 70 cents is too much, is too little for a bagel, is when the guy fucking makes the bagel.
Yeah.
The guy that makes the bagels doesn't have to pay the 70 cents for the bagel.
Sure. Yeah. He's rewarded by the process.
He was forced to go home early and therefore lost 5 hours of work. Unpaid.
Tough.
Of course. Yeah. The manager who gave Jordan the sandwich in question without ringing him up has received no disciplinary action, that's true. He gave the damn guy, he stole it and gave it to him, and he's just sitting around. This is an obvious case of retaliation for union organizing and is basic disrespect. It's unacceptable. We demand that Burgerville immediately end Jordan's suspension and to compensate him for hours he was forced to miss. And then did a call-in thing, but we're too late for that.
What Burgerville has on their side, though, is that this is the working place for everybody. They'll fire you for any fucking thing as soon as they don't like you.
Smallest thing.
Immediately.
Yeah. It does. You can
every level of job.
Yeah, you can do the. They'll find you doing something. Them handbooks are fucking thick.
Oh
man.
Yeah, you sign a lot when you sign those contracts. Take a 16-minute break one time, you know, after you found a loophole in the system or you asked a question that made a manager look dumb. You know.
Yeah. You're definitely like. That is how they, I mean, that's why union organizing scares so many people too, because they know they can get dinged over and over and over again for just things that people, they'll be like, well, yes, I did, like, you'll get fired and people will be like, I didn't even know that was against the rules.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find archaic rules. They don't care. They all have ways of doing it, of stopping a union from organizing. And I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, they can do it to regular people and then. For no reason, union organizing is the easiest way to shut that down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went everywhere I used to work.
You have the right to work. That's why. Because you have the right to work in America. We protect the right to work.
It's a glorious right, I think.
Yeah. Without your right to work, you'd have to join up with other people.
Yeah. I love the Burgerville Workers Union. You're on the top of my list. Hall of Fame style. I just the fight for 15 is so.
Weren't they doing
hard.
Soapboxing in
well,
there?
Well, that's the next action they did. I wish we knew that. I wish I had known about this earlier. I just saw this today. They also picketed on January 15th. But yeah,
we'll get everything in order. We'll with more donations, more support.
We'll find out what they need and we'll figure something out here. Maybe,
yeah, we can
maybe
send
we'll,
some money.
We'll shoot them some Patreon.
Yeah, I'll
money.
Send them some Patreon bucks.
Yeah.
Let's send some zine money their way.
Yeah. On January 16th, they posted Wobbly soapboxing unheard of. Jordan still hasn't heard whether or not he'll be fired in what they're calling Bagelgate.
Hey, yeah.
You know what? This is the battlefield. That's the other thing. Like, this could, people will look at this and think it seems ridiculous, but the fact is the battlefield is in fast food restaurants. You know what I mean? So anything we're fighting over is going to be like cheeseburgers and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, with all the intentions of raising those folks up and everyone else around them as well. I mean, these are the people that are at like the minimum wage. Like, this makes up a large portion of the workforce. And these folks are, this change here can affect everything else, you know?
Yeah.
How we do things. That's one of those things. If we can prevent them from firing us on a fucking whim, and then everybody can't get away with it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And if you pull it off once you pull it off at a fast food place, there's a you see it happening, an example. If it's Burgerville, if it's Denny's, if it's one a Jimmy John's, the IWW, I know, I think it might be Milwaukee or no, Wisconsin. I know. I read a lot of stories from them where they were like trying to organize Jimmy John's, and I'm like, man, that's beautiful. That squares everything with me, because Jimmy John's is run by a scum guy that kills elephants for fun. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. So what happened next? They had Jordan still hasn't heard whether or not he'll be fired in Bagelgate. Burgerville doesn't want people to know that.
Don't gate it.
We're going to disagree with the name Bagelgate. I understand that's like a mainstreamy type of thing, but they won't miss it.
Yeah, Bagel Trapman or something is fine.
Bagel Death, 2017.
That's
we'll figure something out better later on. That's what we'll do. They're retaliating against union workers, and they definitely don't want people to know that workers at Burgerville have no protections against being fired for any reason. Even minor infractions that are usually overlooked can get you fired if management wants to get rid of you. This is true of every place. I'm cutting back in here and saying this is true of every place.
There's no promise of decency, and some people eat it up. I don't know why.
Yes.
I don't understand why people applaud this shit.
Even at the cable company, you know, if you were sitting in the break room and you said union, like, a manager would always make a joke like, oh, I wouldn't say that in here. And you're like, damn, that sounds like a threat, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you're certainly trying to stop it.
Yeah, he seems scared. I know somebody, I was looking through their handbook, and it had a little page in it that said, you can't wear t-shirts with anything but the company logo on it because they can be used for organizing.
Sure. You can put a lot of words on those shirts. That's why you can't wear word shirts.
They don't even want you being like, let's all wear a green shirt for the union tomorrow. Because like if everybody wore a blank green shirt, they'd be like, oh, it's almost like they're talking to each other with those shirts.
Yeah.
But the IWW knows what to do with things the bosses don't want people to know. We soapbox. Today at multiple stores, supporters of the BVW went into Burgervilles with megaphones to tell customers the truth about Burgerville. So, like, they went in and they had megaphones and they just screamed at the people in the place about Jordan getting suspended for the bagel and knowing that they're at-will employment and all of that stuff. And, like... God, that I would love that if I worked at a fast food. I used to work at a fast food place. And anytime some wild shit happened in there, best thing of the day. Really.
Yeah, what kind of a fucker wouldn't just be like, hey, can I get that 70 cents? I gave you a bagel yesterday and I realized I didn't get 70
cents.
Because
you go right the... to them, in the mind of the low-level manager, it becomes a legal issue if you don't immediately follow the procedure.
Right.
You know, he's like, oh, I saw him ingest that food without giving me my 2 quarters and 2 dimes. I need to go speak to a lawyer. I hate this fucking manager, man. Hey, manager at Burgerville, fuck you.
You're a chode.
So, hey, I just want to say, like, my hat is off to these dudes. On January 25th at 1135 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in, I got to find out what state this is in. I believe it's Portland.
Portland,
Oregon.
Yeah.
They are picketing in front of Burgerville. So, for Jordan. So, I'm pretty like, if you're around... Please go to this. Like, I want as many people there as I want Jordan to get his job back. And then I want that manager to have to stand there with Jordan every day. And Jordan just being like, so how about this union while he's cooking?
Yeah.
Yelling it at the other, like, invincibility when he comes back.
Yeah, I actually do remember a guy at my work after they had taken away some pretty big benefits saying that everybody should drop their pencils, like, you know, just saying stop working, you know, had to talk to a manager in a back room about making like those kind of jokes.
And it wasn't even a joke, probably. It was just him like pontificating, like, you know what I was thinking.
Right. What would happen if maybe tomorrow if everybody dropped their pencils instead of, you know, because they're changing these rules, you know?
Yeah, I love that, though. Ugh. Yeah, that scares it's funny how scared they get.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa, 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 yeah, whoa.
People
whoa.
Like that kind of talk.
You're saying stuff. I know you believe in freedom of speech, but that's not applying here.
Right.
And
you signed a contract. You have a right to work. We have a right to fire you for any reason we say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, good luck with that. Really good luck with that. So the next thing I wanted to hit this week on this show was the story about food stamps that showed up.
Oh, wow.
The story about food stamps that showed up on the front page of the New York Times, which is a trash publication made by trash people.
Really bad ideas, huge waste of money, and it just...
Just sorry. Just waste really of time. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
Piss poor thinking, like bad brains.
Drizzling shits. It's the drizzling shits. It's trash.
Unimpressive.
Yeah. You wipe your ass with the New York Times. Don't buy it for reading.
Use it for your fish and chips.
Yeah. That's pretty. I like that. It's much better to wipe your ass. I got the Jacobin article. I'm not going to read the New York Times article. And I don't really necessarily care what's in the New York Times article because the message is told in the headline and the picture that accompanies the article. What is in there doesn't mean anything.
So what does it say?
So the front page of it says that the cover of the front page. Oh man, where is it at? The front page, it says that people who use SNAP or food stamps. Here it is. Let me get the headline for you. I'm sorry. In the shopping cart of food stamp households, lots of soda. And the picture is of a cart that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 2 liters of soda. Right. Just filled with pop. The cart is filled with fucking pop.
Right. And this guy goes on to say, can you believe it? 10% of SNAP users are buying sugary drinks. Now, that does not mean soda. It means drinks with sugar in them.
Yeah. Well, even Kool-Aid, too.
Coffee.
It could be Kool-Aid.
Could be, yeah. There's lots of different kinds of sugary drinks.
Yeah, the findings show that the number one purchases by SNAP households are soft drinks, which accounted for 5% of the dollars they spent on food.
Yeah.
Who cares, really, what they spend that money on? I don't.
I would like to spend 25% of my budget on that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I know that it's, you have to take care of them in the hospital because they enjoy pop.
I tell you, I drank 24 ounces of cancer causing Dr. Pepper today and enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Today felt good for me because I drank Dr. Pepper. That's probably going to give me cancer when I'm 70.
Yeah.
I feel good about the decision. It didn't bother me at all.
Yeah. And this is really, this is just really where we don't need to spend our time. Why the fuck are these people always looking in people's carts?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. People on SNAP. What is the benefit of this research? I guess is the question. What ends up happening? I mean, if it meant that they were going to like cut the price of pop, then I'd be like, right on. This is some good research.
We could save a lot of money if we subsidize some of this pop. We lowered the pop taxes.
If that's the goal of this project, I'm totally fine with it. Whatever. I don't think that is, though. I think it's to say, like, we got these poor people can't, like,
they don't
rather
get sugar.
White bread and water.
Yeah, white bread and water. They don't get sugar, okay? It's not fair. Working people get, I mean, you know, real working people, or whatever my idea of.
Whatever my idea of somebody who contributes to society.
People who are exactly like me get sugar, okay?
People that make plastic forks down at the factory can have sugar, okay? We don't even make plastic forks at the plastics factory.
Yeah, and it is, 80% of people on SNAP, someone's working in the household. It's not like layabouts. There's no free ride. Well, these people and the average benefits numbers are fucking ridiculous. It's like $200 a month is how much people are getting for food, which is sometimes what I spend in one grocery store trip.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. My God, I just did the other day before the trip we're going on.
I usually budget for about $250 every 2 weeks, and that's what I spend on my groceries. And so they're handing out to people $200 is what they said. And that's the most. You got to remember that they're scaling this. Like, if you make more money, they'll send you a fucking check in the mail for $39. They don't give a fuck.
Right. My mom just applied for it and got $13 a month.
Right, right.
So I don't know how much it's helping, but if she wants to buy a Diet Pepsi with that $13 a month, fuck it, man. I'm cool with
Let
that.
Let it ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Diet Pepsi makes her happy, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, it's and it's really disgusting because those people need to worry about how their lives are ruining a lot of people's lives.
Karmically.
Yeah, karmically.
They put bad vibes in the air.
Living in high rises, buying a car every 2 years, buying clothes, buying things, buying multiple houses, spending all this money, oppressing the shit out of everybody you can, and then saying, oh my God, I'm going to have to pay for that person's healthcare that likes Mountain Dew.
That person's diabetes that built my roads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh God,
those are the people that need to examine what's going on here. Because they're the ones that aren't paying attention. Your Democrats and your neoliberals and people that are doing all right, they can drink LaCroix because they have plenty of other fucking activities in their life that taste as good as strawberry soda.
When they can, yeah. I mean,
if I was brunching all the time, I wouldn't, you know, pop wouldn't be that interesting.
Probably not. Like if I could,
if I had yoga, if I could afford to take a fucking class every single day, I mean, the other stuff would be inconsequential.
Yeah. Well, and the USDA report found that milk, overall, the report found SNAP households spent about 40 cents of every dollar at the grocery store on basic items like meat, fruits, vegetables, milk, eggs, and bread. And you know, there's so many people mad that they can get meat.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
tons of people are mad.
Infuriates, like, you can buy a lobster with that shit. You know, it's like, they're not, okay? Not many.
Yeah, and that's a good choice. It's better than some of the other shit you can buy with that food, with that money.
I don't care if I don't. I really, I'm glad that if a person who is on SNAP is getting lobster once a month, I mean that's the least we can do for the world.
It is a stupid way to spend your money, though. If you only have that little amount of money,
agree. I totally agree. Right, but
yeah, I mean, I would definitely try and get one in there. Sometimes they go on sale.
Yeah. But it says that and another 40 cents of every dollar was spent on cereal, prepared foods, dairy products, rice, and beans. And let me also say that, too, is that, like, these are the things that are in the aisles. The stores are all geared to send us toward. All the cheapest stuff is the shittiest stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know because I buy it.
It's really affordable. No, I agree. I try to make better decisions with my food, and everything starts costing more than $5. And I'm like, I can't deal with that. I cannot make a purchase over $5 when I'm at the grocery store.
Well, I feel like I'm also being ushered toward the worst stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's the most
exciting. It's all over the end caps.
Yeah.
They do a big, giant display of it. There's advertisements. There's bonus buys. There's specials. If you buy 10 of them today,
you get 10 for 10. Yeah. That's a pop. I don't understand. This is the thing I don't understand. Pop is like $4.99 for a 12 pack, but for three 12 packs,
right,
you could get them each for $4. You take that 99 cents off. Yeah. You know, sometimes for savings. three for nine.
They'll do a 3 for $10.
Just sell the damn things for $3.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe people would only buy one instead of three. Now they're like, no, if you want this deal, you got to buy all three. Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you were willing to buy 36 of them, we'd let you get them out the door that cheap.
Can you make a promise to drink 36 of these pops?
Yeah, because we got a deal for you if you do.
Yeah, and the last 20 cents of each dollar was spent on a broad category of junk foods that include sweetened beverages, desserts, salty snacks, candy, and sugar. And I want to talk about that a little bit, too, because, like, I know that poor people don't think of junk food as a vacation. But, like, we took shrooms the other night, right? And that really was my vacation. I haven't been on vacation in, like, 5 years. But I can afford, you know, $60 to go to a different plane of existence for a little bit.
Yeah, to leave your body for a moment.
And, like, junk food, yeah, I know. I shouldn't eat it, and it's bad. But it also makes me feel good for a few minutes sometimes.
Yeah, it's just what you need. I mean, it's medicine. I consider it medicine for the most part.
And when shit is tough, like, you can't, like, if you can't go on vacations, you can't have cable TV in your house. People complain because poor people have Xboxes. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't have video games. You can't have cable. You can't have pop. You can't ever have lobster. It's like, well, what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, the point is they want to fucking be they want to provoke and ruin that person's life until they start making money.
Yeah.
Start making a ton of money, start a business.
And a person that is unable, a person that you're looking in their cart and tisking them,
yeah,
when they go grocery shopping, that person, like, they don't have any of the opportunity. I mean, if they had the opportunities, they probably wouldn't be on SNAP. It's just, it's not there. Like, I cannot. Let's stop. Why are we going at? Why are we trying to cut the budget with the poorest people? Let's.
Yeah, they
stop
always
it.
Go there.
People want to own all the shit. You know what I mean? We don't have to have momentary joys like pop. If you could give me a little money and let me go see the world, you know what I mean? Or have the goddamn 4K TV that I want, at least, even.
Keep me semi-happy. There's supposed to be some kind of fucking opiate. Give me the minimum amount of money. Let me have a fucking orange crush and just be unhealthy, you know, for the time that I have here. That, I mean, you know.
Brian, you're a waste on the system.
I know.
You're a drain.
I know. Exactly. That's what you want to be. That is the goal. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, they, yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. We are people that are totally primed and ready to be like, hey, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, man. If you just have a dream, you just work real hard at it and make it happen. And just not that way at all. And why people forget, I don't know. The money just makes people forget. The money just always makes people forget that there are other folks out there are fucking struggling to get a goddamn dollar.
Well, listen to some facts from this Jacobin article here. Which, by the way, they quote as like, this is going to make you sick. Cause this is one of those things that's being attacked by liberals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This isn't something that's being attacked by conservatives. Conservatives hope that everybody drinks themselves to diabetes and dies.
Yes.
That's what the Koch brothers are like. Oh, just fucking breathe in these fumes. Get out of our way. We're harvesting you for organs. Okay. But he framed it as SNAP is a multi-billion-dollar taxpayer subsidy of the soda industry. And, like, that's the kind of thing you say when you want to get something outlawed and you want liberals to jump on your side and be like, yeah, fuck the soda industry. Fuck these corporations.
It's big business. We need the money out of politics.
And just dehumanizes completely the people that they would take Mountain Dew away from. You know what I mean? Like, those people don't count. Listen, I know you say you like this stuff. I can promise you that I can get you not to like it anymore.
I'm going
to
fix you. I'm going to fix you, okay?
You're going to like LaCroix or kombucha tea.
Yes.
You're gonna love this shit. It's fermented.
You need some fermentation. You need some new introduction of new flora and fauna in your gut. I'm going to give you a fungal treatment, which is going to get rid of all of the buildup in your system that makes you crave sugar. So what they're doing right now in Philly, I heard about it on the radio, actually. It's incredible. They added a 1.5 cent tax to every ounce of soda sold.
Yeah, so they're just being like, well, if you're going to drink this pop, we're going to charge you a lot more and make you poor.
Yeah.
We hear poor people are drinking this pop.
Right.
Let me see if I can solve this by pricing them out of the industry.
You thought you were going to get $100 this week. We're going to get a little extra out of you because you need to learn a lesson.
You don't enjoy that Faygo. Red pop's killing you.
And I had a pretty crazy conversation with somebody about their work, their healthcare from work and having to get counseling for being overweight.
Yeah.
And, having somebody like, if you don't check in, you get penalized 200, you lose money on your insurance. Mm-hmm. If you don't. And I was fucking disgusted by that.
Yes.
There are people that are like completely never ate a vegetable in their life and bring bologna sandwiches for lunch every day, but are 100 pounds and they get a bonus on their health insurance for being thin. But somebody that is just the size that they are and still eats salads and moves around is being penalized and has to be at work talked down to by some fucking asshole across the globe. Like a remote person, a coach that says, hey, I'm your girlfriend. Let's help you lose weight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, don't you just hate it when you want a chocolate fudgy cake? Well, you should try this new carrot recipe I have.
True.
It's just demoralizing.
It is. It's just none of their fucking business.
It's none of your business at all.
Yeah. It's just
your life.
Yeah. So here's some of the things about the findings this guy had, Brett. One, there were no major differences in the expenditure patterns of SNAP and non-SNAP households, no matter how the data were categorized.
I did see that.
Okay.
It's pretty much, they're the same. Poor people are the same as the rest of us. They like soda in the same amount as the rest of us. They like drugs in the same amount as the rest of us. It's almost they're human like the rest of us.
It's almost, yeah, it's almost like we all, but we do, you never think about, you know, they never say like, we need to do something about these dudes. You know what I mean? They like middle class. We need to do something about these middle class people. Right? All the Diet Pepsi they're drinking. They're just like, no, we heard that some of the money that we give to poor people so that they can eat and live is being spent on luxuries and it makes us sick.
That's the Democrats.
Yeah.
2017.
The top 10 summary categories and the top 7 commodities by expenditure were the same for SNAP and non-SNAP households, although ranked in slightly different orders. And less healthy food items were common purchases for both SNAP and non-SNAP households. Sweetened beverage, prepared desserts, and salty snacks were among the top 10 summary categories for both groups. And so expenditures were greater for sweetened beverages compared to all milk or both groups as well. So like... this is these statistics are really just taking a group of people and pointing at them.
Yeah.
Be like, take it away from them. We need to get the money from them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's this is their ideas of caring about the world. This is the fucking heart on their bleeding heart liberal. This is how they care about folks. They fucking tax them for drinking something they like.
And it's, I said this last week. It's on its way out. You know, kids hate pop. It's like the new cool thing to be like, oh, no, I don't like Pepsi.
Right.
It's like, shit.
Not my generation next. I'm not the next generation of Pepsi drinkers. It stops with me.
Yeah. I mean, there are probably not people with a can of Mountain Dew on their nightstand anymore like I was when I was 19.
Oh, there's still plenty.
Oh, really? I
still see pop drinkers out there.
I feel like the entire pop aisle, because that's another interesting part of this, right? Is that like that's a major feature at the grocery store. And then they're mad because people are attracted to
sure.
it. It's like, it's fucking beautiful over there, man. There's all these different colors of pop. There's a fucking Darth Vader fighting a John Elway or something like that. It's fucking incredible. There's two sections that are great. Cereal and pop. And those are the ones that are like, hey, stay out of there.
Yeah.
You gonna get.
You don't get Apple Jacks. They want people on gruel. They're like, why can't we get them Soylent? Why can't we just have a partnership with Soylent?
Yeah, that seems like the logical way to do this.
We give them the nutrients, but we don't give them the enjoyment. That way, they'll pick themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah. And then as you go, we'll give you one caramel a day.
Right. At the end, you get a taffy.
You get one can. You get three chocolate covered raisins at the end of every day.
Assholes, man.
Yeah, I hate them. I hate you, the New York Times. I love you though, Joe Sauce from Jacobin. That's not too much sauce.
Yeah, more Joe Sauce.
So, I think we're done for the week, man. I guess the next time you talk to us, we will either have a big hole in our head from a cop. Or you'll have heard about our sweet live show, man.
Yeah, we are going to be down in D.C. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Live show on Sunday. Patreon people, I am planning on maybe putting some bonus content in there. So if you're not a member already yet and donating it, I'll go ahead and open it up to, you know, at least a dollar donation. If you're a Patreon supporter, I'll try to get some bonus video content in there for you this weekend as we're out and about. We have a lot of cool stuff planned, so stay tuned to what we're doing. Follow us on Instagram, Street Fight WCRS is the name. Follow us on Twitter and Periscope. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/StreetFightWCRS, and you will know what's going on. I'll keep all of those things updated, including Snapchat. So we're going to give you the best reporting that we can without, you know, getting crushed by a Trump tank. And then we're going to kick off this new revolution with a party on Sunday night. If you couldn't get tickets I want to go to Brooklyn Pint afterwards, but I think I'm going to have to switch that up if they can't handle all these folks. I feel like it's going to be a bum rush situation. So stay tuned for that on all the social media channels. We are Street Fight. Peace.